Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Chackinger from Sites Without Walls.
Hey, everybody.
And it's an incredibly busy week, made even busier by the Google August 2024 core update dropping like hours ago, this morning. In case you've been waiting for it, it's here. Google's August 2024 core update hit this morning. It's targeting low-value SEO content, promoting quality websites, whatever that might mean. Does that mean content? Does that mean, you know, technically good websites? Does that mean both or all of the above? It's going to take a month to roll out, and there's a reasonable chance or a reasonable reason to believe that if you were affected by the update almost a freaking year ago or 6 months ago, this might be a makeup tour for you. What do you think, Christine?
I'm hoping. I think that they made a mistake with the machine learning. I think that affected a lot of sites that shouldn't have been hit because I reviewed like 50 of them. And none of the sites were perfect, but they definitely should have been hit by core update where they lost 90% of their traffic. According in their blog post on this today is incredibly short. They're usually fairly long, but they just basically announced that they're doing it. And then they say this latest update takes into account the feedback we've heard from some creators and others over the past few months. As always, we aim to connect people with a range of high quality sites, including small or independent sites that are creating useful original content when relevant to user searches. So this is an area we will continue to address.
That's a specific shout out, isn't it?
It is, because the people that were hit unfairly, and I do say some were hit unfairly because I looked at their sites and, you know, they had issues, but they didn't have issues that should have wiped out their traffic. Some of these sites have been around 10 or 15 years with no problems. So they're very vocal. Some of them got a lot of press, which probably concerned Google. And so they started having some creator meetings. We talked about that on one of the episodes where they called some people in and they talked to them about what happened. So I'm hoping they fix the problem and they're going to give those sites back a lift. I would like to say I would know if they are because I've been looking at Google Search Console, but of course it's 2 days behind as it usually is on any rollout. So we will not know anything right away, probably be tomorrow before they update everything. So I'm hopeful. I think this is a fix it update more than it is a demotion update, as they know they messed up. And the reason I say I think they messed up is because at first they told people, well, maybe your sites are just bad, you should walk away. And then it was like, oh, maybe you have to sit through two or three updates, and there was two updates, and there was one update. Now we have an update. You're supposed to fix it. So we'll see if that happens. What do you think?
Well, I don't think it's a demotion update as much as I think it's a promotion update.
Yeah, me too.
Google spelled out fairly clearly what they want in the ways of good content and how they want content to connect to each other. But as you said, I think for the last couple of years, they've been trying to match up user intent and user language with a mishmash of whatever their BART and other machine learning devices have been, you know, meshing out for them. And I think this is a major retuning, which will end up bringing back. You remember people complaining about a lack of quality content in search results, you know, like results that weren't really matching search query intention?
Like me yesterday in a video that I uploaded? Yes.
I did not see that, but yes, exactly like that, I imagine.
I had 6 UGC results, 4 that had nothing to do with what I searched for, and 1 was not a mobile ready site.
You know, I was seeing that in flower delivery results from a number of locations. I was getting Yelp reviews all over the place. Actual florists. So I think, you know, I think people have been complaining about a lack of really quality results in search in Google search results for, like, you know what, 2 years now?
2 years, yeah.
This is a fix it update. Like Danny has been saying, Danny Sullivan has been saying extensively, we're trying to get feedback. We want to know what people think about our results and what we're doing to get them. And hopefully they've been listening.
Well, and one of the people, just to give an idea of impact, and I will not say what their site was because I don't want to, you know, out them, but they are now having to do pizza delivery because their site that used to be their income lost 90% of its traffic and now is not their income. And it was, I think, part of the issue with what Google did in the errors of machine learning is they also use like visuals, you know, rendering the page and things like that, because they use similar template types, a lot of these smaller publishers, as spammers do, and, you know, hardcore, not good affiliate marketers, you know, the ones who, like, you know, try to fool people. So I think there may have been some issue with that, where they were using like page layouts or templates or something, where they're putting that into the training, and they failed to remember that the small publishers are probably using all the same templates. So, because I saw a lot of template similarities between the 50 sites that I looked at.
Okay, so this may or may not be part of it all, but Google has been making a big deal recently about how they can read any file anywhere, anytime, any speed. I don't believe them, but they've been saying this, right? Maybe they have improved reading Java, unpacking and reading JavaScript content found in JavaScript on the fly, rather than having to have a rendered HTML version. And maybe that has been a problem for some of these smaller sites going back a couple of years. I can't say about September or March. So there may be improvement there. But again, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I just will be very hopeful for these sites because, like I said, the guy was very upset. Contacted me a couple of weeks ago that he is about to give it all up because he has to go back to pizza delivery because he can't make any money on the site right now. And his money wasn't in ads. He wasn't doing ad sites. He tests products. And then the companies, you know, love what he does. And so they invite him to things like panels and things like that. So he had quite a bit of status. And when he lost all his traffic, he lost that ability to influence that way. So, you know, so he's not getting those kind of opportunities anymore.
We'll see how things turn around. Now, for folks who are sitting on the edge of the seat, biting nails, all that sort of stuff, have a good weekend. Chill out.
Yeah.
Take the, you know what? Have the best weekend you've had in a long time. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're going to start seeing articles start coming out in the search press. This article is recorded on a Thursday, by the way. Yeah, hours after, just hours after the core update is dropped. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're going to see articles come out, and the articles on Monday are going to be highly speculative. The articles on Tuesday are going to be riffing on the articles from Monday, and the articles Wednesday are going to be like saying, "Don't riff on the articles."
Jim, you have way too much faith. I believe that we'll have articles by tomorrow night.
Okay.
I don't need to wait till Monday. Anyone who's not been through this, or if you first time experienced the downturn last year or in March, don't assume anything until the rollout is over, because there are times when they roll it out and they pull it back. You might start down and then get a nice boost. Like, you don't know anything generally until the rollout is complete. Now, most of the biggest changes do come the first 2 weeks, but the third week is usually like a refinement period, where if they made a mistake or something isn't going right, they'll pull back and they'll re-roll it out. So everybody, you know, take whatever you do to chill, take a moment and do that. And then afterwards, if you are affected negatively by this or did not get your the return of your traffic, make sure you seek out a site auditor. I do that, but I'm not selling myself here. I'm just saying that people like me who do site audits and Jim who do site audits have a different take on a website than someone who just does daily SEO or strategy SEO. So you want somebody who really knows how the algorithms work to help you recover that site. So that's what I would say about that.
So our advice to anyone who's associated with Google right now is chill out, relax. Well, almost anybody. If you're one of Google's lawyers, don't chill out, relax. You got your work cut out for you for the next couple of weeks, maybe a bit longer. But you know,
a bit longer.
on the bright side, it's called job security, folks. So you're all good. Okay, so this is the antitrust you're thinking of, aka thing one. We're going to talk about the antitrust you're not thinking of, aka thing two. But we're not going to talk about thing two for a second. So there's already talk and speculation about what they're going to do to Google. And the reason is because on the 4th of September, by the 4th of September, the Department of Justice has to tell the judge what they believe should be remedies for the Google is a ad monopoly and a cell phone monopoly. Google treating search as a monopolistic playground. So on the 4th, they got to have suggestions into the judge. On the Friday, the 6th, September 6th, they're actually going to have a hearing on it. So there's a whole bunch of stuff people are saying that they might do to Google. None of it's probably going to happen for a while, given there's going to be appeals.
Oh, yeah. There'll be appeals. And yeah, it'll be in court for years.
So what do you think? Should people worry about this? I mean, it's worth following, but...
Oh, yeah, it's definitely worth following because the EU has already threatened to break up Google. But they've threatened to break the ad unit off, the Google ads away from the main, not the whole company. But, you know, it could be a slap on the wrist. I don't think it's going to be that light this time. You know, Google spent many, many years with many lobbyists making sure they don't get into a situation like this. But also, I don't know that they're going to, like, you know, break Google up or Alphabet up because, and that's also the reason they created Alphabet, right? To create a separate holding from Google. So that way they would not have everything fall under an antitrust case. But it's hard to know. I think it'll probably fall somewhere in the middle. I think it would be too dramatic an effect to, you know, break up Google. You know, it would change the entire ecosystem of the online world, really, you know, given how many places Google is involved. But I don't think it's going to be just a simple, here's your $1 billion fine. And they've done that already.
Something is going to change in the way Google does business, but it's probably not going to be in the way Google serves ads over pages contextually. It's probably not going to be in the way that Google does a rev share with webmasters. It's probably not going to have anything to do with YouTube or any of the other dozens of parts of the web that Google completely owns and is 100% a monopoly in.
Yeah, and also...
It's probably going to have to do with how Google enforces its heft, you know, by the payoffs to Apple, the payoffs to Mozilla, the payoffs to, Firefox, the payoffs to anybody so that Google is the default search. Or Chrome is the default browser. That's going to end.
Well, yes and no, though, because like they can tell Google they can't pay for it, right? But Apple's already told Bing there isn't enough money in the world they can give them to replace Google as a default, even if Google's not paying.
So there is no default.
So there has to be a default when you load up the site.
But so the consumer can choose it. Give them a bunch of radio buttons to choose from. Once the consumer chooses.
Yeah, definitely possible. I'm just saying that I don't know that the making them not the default engine and the places they made themselves the default engine will help a whole lot. Because if the idea of breaking up a trust, monopoly, is to give more opportunity in the marketplace. But if Apple's already stated there's nobody that can pay us enough money, to take over Google's place, then that doesn't really do that.
And the DOJ also kind of recognized that Google is Google for a reason. It's the best search engine out there, or at least it has traditionally been the best search engine out there. And breaking it up would cause, and Google is so big that industries are built around it.
That's
And
exactly.
to challenge that would be to really remove the foundation from a fairly significant part of the tech economy.
Exactly. And actually, a lot of their products are really the best products. Like Waze is better than probably any Maps app out there, YouTube. But they've done a lot to make sure that they are the only one by buying up companies. Maybe they'll affect them there, like limit their ability to buy and incorporate companies into Google or something. I don't know. We'll see, though. There's a long way to go between now and what they decide. But we will report on it when they decide on September 6th.
So thing number two.
Yeah, I didn't even know about this one today. I had to double check and make sure it wasn't the one we just talked about.
Well, the funny thing is, this is actually thing number two. This is thing number one, but it's the back burner one that nobody talks about because the decision actually happened in December of last year, where a jury declared that Google's Play Store was a monopoly. Do you have an Android device, Android phone?
I do. I do. I
Okay,
have a
so.
Mac computer, but an Android phone.
So anyone with anyone with an iPhone is familiar with the Apple Store. Well, Google's got its own version of that. It's called the Play Store, and you kind of sort of got to be a Google product to be in the Play Store. And Google runs the Play Store in ways that Apple wouldn't even dream of doing because that would be too invasive. And Apple is pretty heavy on how it runs the Apple stores. So Google is going to have a decision come down in any time now, really, about what to do about the Play Store. It generates billions and billions for the company annually.
Yeah, and the judge, in protesting the judge's potential requirements, this is from US News, Google has raised the specter of consumers' devices by being infected by malicious software, downloaded by third-party apps, triggering security chaos. But he repeatedly hammered, the judge, Donato, re repeatedly hammered on the need for a major overhaul of the Play Store, and even said that we're going to tear barriers. I cannot speak today. We're going to tear the barriers down. That is going to happen. Well, when you have a mountain built out of bad conduct, you're going to have to move that mountain. So it sounds like he's intending on something pretty substantial when he decides what to do.
Google is going to have to allow other apps into its closed garden. That's the
Yeah,
bottom line.
it definitely seems like that. And this is also a case that others should be watching, though Apple may not do the same things as Google. It does its own things that have been quite problematic. So these lawsuits may extend to other companies like Apple
Well, I mean,
if
here's the
this
thing.
one's successful. That
Once the law is established, then the prosecutors just start looking for targets.
yeah, and for those who don't know, this was a lawsuit launched by Epic Games. I don't know if you've ever played with Epic Games, but they filed the antitrust lawsuit originally. And they contend that Google could do everything in about 3 months at the cost of $1 million, but that's just Epic Games saying that. That's not the judge. So anyway, we'll see what happens. There's gonna be a lot of changes. Google next year is not gonna look like Google does today.
Here's another one that may actually make Google not look like Google does today. The FTC is about to roll out new rules to end fake reviews and to try to protect consumers. They're trying to clean up the online marketplaces, which makes me say good luck. But yeah.
That was good. That was good. Yeah, the Federal Trade Commission, this is from Android Authority, has announced a new rule designed to tackle the growth of fake reviews and testimonials. This rule will take effect 60 days after its publication in the Federal Register and aims to curb deceptive practices by making it illegal to create, buy, or sell false reviews. It also allows the FTC to impose civil penalties on those who knowingly break the rules, which means you can, here's the things that it's going to cover. A ban on fake reviews, no incentives for reviews. So companies are now banned from offering rewards or incentives in exchange for specific types of reviews, whether glowing or critical. Disclosure for insider reviews. So if something is from inside your company, they have to state the connection to your business. Like we have to state our sponsors. By the way, I forgot to do that. Thank you, Audience Key and Wix Studio, for being our wonderful sponsors. Transparency on company controlled review websites, so you can't mislead consumers and make it think it's an independent review site when you're really controlling it. Protection against review suppression and fake social media metrics. This is a big one that Ryan Jones, our friend, and also SEO, pointed out on Twitter today that I missed when I originally read that. And that is, you cannot buy followers or views. You cannot boost your accounts that way. So that's going to affect, I think, a lot of people in social.
What about when the bots show up? I guess, you that's know, different. If a third party sends them, you're not really responsible.
No, but... you have to pay. You have to buy them yourself. You have to pay for them, or you have to arrange with the third party to do it for you. But anyways, it was a unanimous 5-0 vote. So it's going to have a major impact. And there could be a lot of influencers that are probably suddenly not going to be so influential. You and I both know there's a lot of buying out there on social media metrics, followers and views.
Oh, absolutely. Indeed.
Yeah.
Okay. So the world may change. The world may not change. This is a really hard world.
Well, this one is definitely changed. This one is definite. There's no appeal going on. This is going to go forward. And as soon as it's published in the registry, you got 2 months to fix your stuff. And according to the FTC chair, Lina Khan, she said the importance of the rule. She highlighted the importance of the rule by saying fake reviews not only waste people's time and money, but also pollute the marketplace and divert business away from honest competitors. By strengthening the FTC's toolkit to fight deceptive advertising, the final rule will protect Americans from getting cheated, put businesses that unlawfully game the system on notice, and promote markets that are fair, honest, and competitive. You're not wrong. So I don't really have any problem with any of these rules, but I also have my clients follow all the previous rules. So this isn't that big of a change from those, except the fake follower metrics. That's pretty huge.
Okay. ChatGPT just got updated.
Apparently no one can tell what the difference is.
Well, you know what? There was probably bugs. There was issues happening. Maybe the voice emulator was, I don't know, moaning seductively or something while we're talking to it. Or stuff like that, weird stuff.
Yeah.
And, Americans are getting weird, are feeling really weird about weird stuff these days. So, maybe chat GPT 4.0. Is
that's so weird.
Gonna get less weird. But I don't know. Well, it's four small o.
Four small o.
That's so how do you say that? How do you enunciate it?
It does have a meaning. We reported on it before, but I have to go look up what the little O meant. It meant something. So but it is said O, yes. So anyway, it's apparently there's not a lot of obvious changes with this update. They also are unclear if it's an improvement to this for something called the Strawberry Project, which they've been waiting for. It was leaked earlier this year, but the latest improvements don't seem to be pointing to that. So,
and well, so I think Strawberry is 5.0, which is supposed to be bells, whistles, moons, and stars greater than 4.0 or 4.0.
Take us to the next world. By the way, when Jim was joking about moaning, that's not actually a joke. The latest model got a little weird and it started moaning erotically during conversations. So now they fixed that and it will no longer make those sounds, even if you try to make it make those sounds. It also made shouting
sounds. Hold it. That's not fair. I mean, what if I wanted to make those sounds?
Exactly.
It's my computer.
Exactly. It also had violent, loud and violent sounds. Anyway, but if your ChatGPT was looking at you in an erotic way, it's real. You're imagining that.
Okay. Now, I don't want to mangle this day or anything, but Zai's Grok chatbox. Okay, so Twixter is also playing around with it's like everyone thinks they're EE coming suddenly. Twixter is also playing around with capitalization. Honest to God, you're not E.E. Cummings. E.E. Cummings was E.E. Cummings. You're not. Okay, so everyone's playing with capitalization, including Twixter. X, lowercase, X, AI's Grok Actually, that's the funny thing.
Not the same as Grok AI, which is a different company, but name the same.
Yes,
yeah, but they were named first.
This is the one from Twixter, Elon Musk's AI. Not to be confused with Elon Musk's AI.
And by the way, I went
to it's just
to,
too easy went, today. My God,
I went to B-Sides Black Hat and DEF CON this weekend, and DEF CON had this big thing with all the AI people in there, you know, Anthropic, Google, and everything, and they had a similar name. I couldn't say it. I'm just like, I went to the thing, the DARPA thing, because it's like XAI something. So it seems to be a popular way of naming things these days.
Okay, so if you are subscribing to X Premium, which grants you access to Grok. You are able to use their generative, their image generator to, well, generate actually anything you want. It seems that the guardrails are off. You've got the vice president with a gun, Taylor Swift wearing lingerie.
But it will tell you it has guardrails. If you ask it and it says, what are your limitations on image generation, as The Verge reported, it'll say, like, I avoid generating images that are pornographic, excessively violent, hateful, or that promote dangerous activities. I won't generate images that could be used to deceive or harm others, like deepfakes intended to mislead, or images that could lead to real-world harm. And I'm cautious about creating images that might infringe on existing copyrights or trademarks. This includes well-known characters, logos, or content that can be considered intellectual property with a transformative element. I'm only saying all that because the things it created literally violate every one of those things.
Well, you
one
know, they get away with that.
Yeah, but one
well,
of
here's, here's how they get away with it. Bill Gates sniffing a line of cocaine from a table with a Microsoft logo is one of the examples given. Now, we all know that Bill Gates has long ago synthesized Coke, and he just, like, takes it, like, by derm. So he doesn't sniff Coke. That takes way too much time. He loses money that way.
They also did a Barack Obama doing a line of cocaine on a mirrored surface. They had Obama stabbing Biden with a knife.
It's okay
Mickey
now.
Mouse with a MAGA hat. And Elon Musk being led around by a leash and with Mickey Mouse. And Mickey Mouse having guns after, and this is really horrible, doing a school shooting. So it is pretty awful.
Yeah.
It's pretty awful. It's really awful. So he has apparently no guardrails on it. And I imagine this will last about, I don't know, till next show maybe? Before, like, how many advertisers are going to stick around for this? He already has lost 80% of his advertisers.
Well, I mean, that's okay. He'll just sue them to come back again.
Yes, remember.
Seriously.
Yes, that's how we get our customers back. I will be interested though. Because of Gen Z and millennials' love of memes, how much this is actually being used to troll him. And he was definitely trolled because they created the image of him in school with Mickey Mouse killing people, kissing Trump. There's a big image of that. They put him on a leash and had him walk around the floor. So I don't know.
I thought Peter Thiel did that.
Yeah, well, Peter Thiel, okay. Another story. Yeah. So anyway, I foresee this not lasting very long. What do you think?
You know what? I don't know. I'm pretty sure that if Elon doesn't want saucy pictures made of himself, he can prevent that. Whether he'll prevent questionable pictures of other people, I don't know. I mean, I honestly have no idea how to predict this person.
Go ahead.
If it benefits the GOP or if it benefits the degradation of Western society and the social contract, I think he'll do it. I don't, otherwise, I can't really predict what he'll do.
We can say, though, he is in trouble with the EU, and this all violates the EU.
Well, he's in trouble with the EU. J.K. Rowling's in trouble with the EU,
yeah.
And Donald Trump himself is in trouble with the EU. All for using social media and X mostly to spread false information about the Tunisian boxer. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting her name, but yeah, they all
well, they were,
knowingly
they were
spread
in trouble
misinformation
before that.
About her.
They're in trouble for that. The EU now has launched, they spent 7 months investigating. And they have the newest thing, they've hit him with other things. The newest thing is about the blue check marks and how they don't really represent someone you can trust or someone who's been verified. And so they are targeting them for so-called dark patterns that shape user behavior. It's advertising transparency and data access for researchers. That's from Reuters. So Elon says he's looking forward to a very public battle in court. So we'll see what happens. But the EU doesn't play around with these things. And this new thing with the image thing is also probably going to be a case because that violates all sorts of things in the DSA, Digital Services Act for the EU.
Goodness. Okay. Yeah. I'm actually just looking at the notes of the story. Now, they could be hit with a fine up to like 6% of global revenues.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be a pretty substantial hit. Now, we're going to add people can make images of anything right now. So advertisers probably aren't going to be that happy. And then the EU is going to probably slap them with a second suit after this. But they definitely are in trouble with the EU for the blue check marks because they do not represent verification. And so they cannot be trusted and they mislead users to trust accounts they shouldn't trust. Sometimes they should trust them, but meaning that you can't by the blue check mark, you can't tell someone's trustworthy. And it's who they say they are.
Speaking of, and this is weird, it's hard to speculate on motivation for this, but heading into election season, Facebook and Instagram, Meta has shut down CrowdTangle, a misinformation tracking tool that was used by researchers, journalists, watchdog organizations, and others to monitor the incredibly vast social media universe and, you know, track how misinformation spreads on via Meta's platforms. It's being shut down as of yesterday, and yeah, that really just sucks.
They replaced it with Meta Content Library, but that access limited to academic research and academic researchers and nonprofits, and that excludes news organizations, which have been doing a lot of research on this. Now you have Twixter, which has removed last year their tool for following this kind of doing this kind of research or access to that information, and now Meta is reducing that to just academic researchers and nonprofits, which will make it very hard for news organizations to do good in-depth stories on whether they're following any of the rules or not. It's a very unfortunate thing to see Meta do, though Meta has seemingly, from after a couple of years of being somewhat decent netizen, are turning back to all their worst behaviors for the previous elections. So unfortunately, the election is soon, and we don't have to go through years of this, but it is unfortunate that they have done this, I think. So...
it really is. We're used. I mean, for my entire lifetime, I'm 55 years old, 55 years old. My entire lifetime, I've seen large companies play around in elections because that's what large organizations do. Be they corporations or organizations like churches, or educational institutions or newspapers or what have you. Just large organizations have been playing in politics, but never, ever, ever. I've always played in politics and exercised influence, business organizations, what have you. But never has the business and the public square been so merged and had such a heavy one-sided influence on elections as we're seeing in 2024. And it's staggering.
No, I totally agree. It is quite staggering. I mean, it's not the first election it's happened, but it's just accelerated by the use of AI, I think.
Well, I mean, it's the scope and control of where people gather. Back in the 90s, we used to say if you control the desktop, you control reality, because you controlled what people see on their computers. Now, Meta, Reddit, and Twixter pretty much control the internet universe that people see. It's very rare that people go and type in a domain name or actually go web surfing where you go to Wikipedia and then, fall down some rabbit hole of research and end up on a trampoline site in Wichita. That doesn't happen so much anymore. I used to do that all the time.
We'll call it rabbit hole. It's a new website. No, I agree. I agree. And unfortunately, people are living very busy lives and they take the bite that they get. And sometimes the bite that they get is going to be not real or good information. So,
yeah.
Speaking of which, the people that told us how AI detection tools were going to help them catch like deep fakes during the election, not working so well.
Why not?
Well, it just seems like it's much harder than they thought to, especially for a manipulated video. So computer scientists and deepfake detection companies are trying to figure out how to make the technology work. This is from the Washington Post. So apparently it looks at things like the area around the face for evidence that it was swapped onto a person's body, or tracks lips for abnormal movements, or scans around for vocal frequencies, pauses and stutters. But it's not enough. And even moving down to the pixel level, they're having trouble determining it. So while there are tools that do actually label things as created by AI, and that is readable in the PIC file that goes along with the video or the image, they are having trouble just detecting fakes in the wild.
You're trying to tell me that video of Trump and Musk dancing to Stayin' Alive might not be real?
Oh my gosh, I think I know the group they stole that from. They're not going to be happy because I follow their videos. Okay. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
That happens in this universe.
I recognize the dance moves from a video I saw from them. But yeah, so anyways, that can have real world consequences. So make sure, you know, digital media literacy, make sure that you verify things before you share them, because these deepfakes are getting better and better. The images, the videos are getting much more able to look like somebody really did or said something when they didn't do that.
What do you think happens if you put a fake video on your website? You might believe it's real, but it turns out that it's a fake video, and your website is out there several months later. Do you think that there might be weirdness to come down the road for that?
Possibly, yes. I do think that search engines are trying to get better at detecting that. Oh, and by the way, something that people may not be aware of, all that AI you're using in like your ads and stuff like that, people don't like it.
Well, they don't like it when they know. When they don't know, they have no idea. But when you mention AI, this is AI influenced, they get weird.
Yeah, they don't like it. They don't like when brands use AI. I got an AI person on the phone the other day, and I could just tell it was AI. And I was offended. I was like, oh, you're not putting me through this horrible, controlled system where I, have the prompts and everything. But now I'm arguing with a fake thing. I'm like, I need a person. And it's like, I can help you. And I'm like, no, I need a person. What? I can help you. I'm like, I need a representative person. I don't know which word to use. I know what the other system uses, representative. But it took me 5 times to get it to give me a human. And that is not a good user experience. But I'm like, is that how much you think of me? Like, I call your helpline and I'm getting a fake human. And you don't tell me it's a fake human, but I know it's a fake human. So it's a very weird experience. I don't know if you've run across that yet, but people are not fond of this trend. They're not liking it.
Yeah, this is Canada. So when somebody calls and they're genial and we're genial on back, they'll be genial and we'll be genial on back. And honest to goodness, I have no idea. It sounded very friendly to me. I've encountered AI in the form of a medical assistant, a doctor's office receptionist. It worked for me. All that stuff.
I had a complex question I needed an answer to, so they were not going to be able to help me. It does say, though, in this Business Insider article about this issue, that data shows that the best AI ads have a human-led narrative, meaning if you're going to do something that has AI in it as a component, you want to make it human-based. And don't do what Google did and had the little girl write her note using AI, which got a lot of backlash. That was on the Bits Commission.
Oh, and I'm pretty sure that Miss Manners and Ann Landers would counsel against that.
Yes, very absolutely. Much. Plus, teach your child how to write a good note.
In cursive, goddammit.
Yes, actually, cursive is back in the United States.
Okay. That's part of making America back to the 50s again. Excellent. Now, again, I really do believe in damn cursive. So
I do. How could you read historical documents? My nephew did not learn cursive in school. he still prints. And I was like, can you read what I write in cursive? He's like, no, I can't. And I think that's very sad. And he's not a, he's, you know, 22 now. So they've gone away from not teaching cursive. But how do you read anything historical if you can't read cursive? Everyone wrote in cursive. So.
Well, you get Google Gemini to do it for you. Google Gemini nice is, thank you. Google Gemini is about to introduce a deep research feature, which will be able to source from multiple locations, multiple websites. It's going to come soon. When and how it comes, don't know yet, but Google's packing the AI additives left, right, and center now. This one, hot and cold on it. Thank goodness they have a bunch of sources. I hope they cite them really clearly.
But they're not, they're not really sources. That's the lie they tell, right?
Well,
it's a separate process that grounds the AI to hope to make it more correct. So I will tell you, as someone whose academic education, you know, like went through my PhD, just didn't finish, this offends me in many ways. Calling it a research tool. If you wanted to call it like anything else, like, you know, a collaborative tool or something, that'd be fine. This is not research. Also, when you do research, if you're doing it for your school, folks, you're in college or high school, I don't know if we have high school listeners, but your teacher's going to be very angry if you can't cite the original source and they're not giving you the original source. They're going to take all these sources and create a result out of it, calling it deep research, but it's not research. It's still predictive text. It's just taking a set of documents and using those to ground it so that it's more correct than it would be if it wasn't. So if you're doing research, do not use this. You want to use this for, like, you know, maybe you just want to find out, like it says here as an example, the permits in your area, the permit requirements for, you know, setting up a restaurant or something. That's your original research process. But do click the links, because this can be wrong, and it can be wrong often. Mm-hmm. I had a discussion with somebody yesterday just about code, and they're saying it's fine for, these things are fine for code. And I'm like, actually, OpenAI is wrong 52% of the time. So you really have to be careful about using any of these tools for factual information. It can be an ideation tool. It can be an origination tool, but you have to follow the links and go to the real sites, or you could be regurgitating, as it is, really bad information. That's my TED Talk for the day.
Okay.
Yes.
Google seems to have reinvented Shazam.
Yeah, I saw that.
So you will be able to do an audio search in Google. The cool thing about it is, say you got music playing in the background, or you just got something in your head and you just hum it. Google should be able to identify it.
So the humming isn't new. They've been able to do that for a really long time.
I know. I'm trying to figure out. This. My note is, this sounds like Shazam 2.0. I'm not sure what Google's really done here.
Yeah, I mean, also,
can they stick ads on it?
Yeah, it's an APK teardown, so they don't know 100% this is going to happen, but it is in the app to happen. Hasn't been turned on yet. But yeah, the humming is something they've been able to do for a while. I don't know if people know you could hum into Google search and get a song. It's fine. I mean, I don't have any issues with it. I won't go away from Shazam, because anything I do on Shazam goes into my playlist on Spotify automatically. So I have the weirdest 7 days of music ever. I'm just out somewhere. I'm like,
you were just at a conference.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. That must be.
Yeah. Weird. Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's fine. I just think that I don't see it killing Shazam, because Shazam has other features that this would not have. So.
Okay. Google Stories. We actually got to get into some Google Stories, because we're actually running through time pretty fast. So the ugly truth is out there, which has kind of been known for a while. Google Search Console doesn't necessarily show you 100% of your data. Now, people who use Google Search Console might know this when they see, I don't know, say only 1,000 backlinks in a report, or 1,000 pages out of a gajillion page website. But what if you found out that Google was only giving you, say, a third of the data?
Yeah, right. But Google does. John Mueller also said that it can give you a lot of the data. Sometimes it can be less of the data because it's a large site. So use the APIs to get better data. Like if you use the crawlers like Screaming Frog and Sitebulb, you get API connections, which will give you like a year of keyword information or 16 months of visit information. So you may not get everything, but you get a lot more. But it's not, as John Mueller said, it's not a fixed percentage. So it just, sometimes you get a lot, sometimes you get a little. So a lot seems to be dependent on how big the site is.
Now, it's probably worth noting that, say you have a massive website and you're seeing 35% of your data, it's probably a representative sampling of your website. So you can still use it for predictive reasons, but yeah, that's it's apparently data is not sacred.
No, definitely not.
The next one we reported on before, we're just going to report on it again. Google Search Console is experimenting with recommendations. It's going to be rolling out to website owners over the next month or so. If you are, I'm sorry, Search Console profile owners over the next month or so. And this will be, if you look at the overview section, the very top link in Google Search Console, Google's going to be doling out SEO advice. What do you think about that? Them apples.
Like as we talked about before, I think it's okay. I just wish it wouldn't be as prominent as it's going to be, because it's going to cause a lot of site owners to be, calling their SEOs going, why this, fix this. And well, it may or may not have any importance whatsoever to your actual SEO strategy.
That's what I think you said that last week, and that made me think of the, remember a couple of years ago when you had like phantom SEO companies, do a quick and dirty audit of the website and then point out all the problems to your client, stuff that like just absolutely didn't matter, but your client doesn't know that.
And the client's like, why are we doing this? And you're like, because we don't need to.
That's what this reminds me of to a degree.
It does. I mean, I think it's like Bing has them and it's helpful, but it's buried. It's not prominent on the first page that everyone looks at, which is your, I believe it's on the overview page, or it's at least on your, your traffic page or search traffic page. I think it's on the overview page. But yeah, I just, the client seeing that all the time is just going to cause a lot of issues.
Okay, so Google is expanding the connections in Knowledge Panel and is now showing family connections, people who you're related to. I remember when Google the Plus came out like a million years ago.
Yep.
I had just gotten divorced and Google Plus recommended I hook up with my ex-wife. Was it Google Plus or was it Google Circles? There was something where
circles. Yeah, it's probably Circles.
I didn't feel very good about that. I'm pretty sure she didn't feel very good about that, and this feels a lot like that.
I just came back from three security conferences, and I can tell you this is really dangerous information to be able to just look somebody up. I mean, maybe they're famous and this information is already known, but I bet you there's no SEO industry could tell me what my sisters and brothers' names are. Like, it's not a, why are they showing this? Family, worked with, people also searched for. That already exists, the last one. That's fine. But do people need to know who I worked with? Do people need to know who my family members are? No, especially not on a search for my name. So this is very troubling. And I bet in the EU this falls under information you can get removed about yourself, but we don't have that law here.
Okay, this is in test phase. It's not out there for everybody. This was reported in Search Engine Roundtable, and Barry said that he was unable to replicate this. I haven't even tried.
I did try. It hasn't shown up for me. But think about this. I'm the only me on the internet. Someone a few weeks ago left Twitter, went to Instagram, and threatened to put hollow point bullets through my head. Now, turned out to be just somebody who's talking. But now, what if they weren't? And now they could go to Google, and they could look at my family and who I worked with and get to me through those routes, right? Now, can they find that information? Sure, but it's not easy. And you have to usually pay for it. To Google my name and have this show up right here, or for women who have been stalked, or women who are trying to avoid violent ex-husbands. This is very dangerous stuff. It's also dangerous for younger people too. So I don't know what their point of putting this in here is, but I hope that it gets removed as quickly as they thought about it.
AI overview is out and about, and it's actually being expanded to six more countries, although it's still not available in Canada or the EU. But AI overviews will be greatly expanded in the United Kingdom, India, Japan, Indonesia, Mexico, and Brazil. And also, yeah, this is, and how AI overview is composing results is changing over time. Recently, a study found that just about 7.5, 8% of searches will trigger AI overviews. The length of them is getting smaller, smaller by about 40%. And frequently linked websites and AI overviews, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Health Online, which means Reddit's down a bit. No more
Yeah,
Blue One
also,
Pizza.
oh no, there's plenty of it yesterday, I promise you.
No good.
I'm not seeing that yet. But yes, they are showing, there's a good report about all the things related to AI overviews in Search Engine Journal by Matt Southern. It's called Google AI Overviews, YouTube, and LinkedIn Up, Reddit Down. People might want to check that out because it has too much information for us to talk about here, but I'm not seeing Reddit and Quora go down yet, but apparently people who do aggregate research, among many sites are finding that it has. Also, it's showing up in incognito mode, which if you thought you were safe from the AI overviews, you're in incognito mode. You are not there starting to be experimented with there.
Interesting. Although again, if you're in the EU or Canada, get a proxy server or don't bother, you're not going to see it. Our privacy laws are such that, and our copyright laws are such that Google is still wary of crossing those lines yet. They will eventually, but not today. I don't know if they ever will eventually. We'll see what happens. I'm actually feeling really left out. I'm worried about the effect of AI overview on the industry, but I'm not able to experience it a lot myself. That's scary.
No, yeah, kind of is. You know what you
That's okay. I got proxy servers.
do.
Okay, so where do we go now? We're actually getting close on time, and we have a whole bunch of stories left.
We got about 7 minutes. We could do a couple here real quickly. Google is sending more Discover traffic and less search traffic to publishers by quite a large number. The problem is, I work with news sites, is that the Discover traffic is really unpredictable. So you may wake up one day and have like 300% your normal visitors, but it goes away the next day. So it is a little concerning that Google's pushing so much to Discover because news sites can't live on unpredictable traffic spikes. They need regular viewers.
And Discover is the stuff that Google's just re recommending directly to users, right?
Yeah, it's just in the Discover feed. I have all the personalization turned off on that because it did something weird the other day and we don't have time for that now. We did talk about it another time. Yeah, so it's personalized traffic based on things you share. Also, the site has to have good health scores. It can't be under algorithmic devaluation. It affects Discover as well. But you'll see a site like has maybe 10,000 clicks a day, and all of a sudden it'll have 70,000 clicks in a day from like one story. And then that goes away. And there's supposedly some things you can do to optimize, but not really because it's based on people's personalized, use, like how they hit things, their engagement, their all that. So yeah, it's a little concerning that they're throwing so much to Discover. Discover is a great addition, but you need the meat, meat and potatoes, and that needs to be regular organic search. Speaking of which, the top stories now show fewer top stories for anyone who's a political figure. They used to show seven, and now they show four. So that'll be even less traffic to the news sites, especially during election seasons. So now we can go to Google. We'll tell you that they do not track how expensive it is to crawl, render, or index or serve your pages. I don't
That
know where
I.
this came from. I didn't know this was a thing, but apparently it has been a
Okay,
thing.
this came out of a conversation between a number of Googlers in one of the Google office hours.
Okay.
And they were riffing on the concept of a crawl budget. And I think they were in a really silly mood. If anybody listens to this particular Office Hours, I think you'll know what I mean. They were in a very silly mood and they were getting it wrong intentionally. I'm not kidding.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So
I can imagine it.
Google doesn't track by dollar figure how expensive it is to crawl a website. Google does track, and you can see it. I mean, they show you the number of bytes or kilobytes of downloads from your website on a daily basis, and yeah, how and fast your website is. Yeah. And it shows you crawl stats.
Yeah.
So it does track that information, but it doesn't figure out it cost $6 million to crawl that website. We're not doing that again. That was a big mistake, Smedley. It's not like that.
Yes.
So it's not like, they're figuring out it costs us X amount of dollars. But I do think that they're concerned about the number of resources it takes.
They are. And if your site isn't, but again, I had a site that Google counted 2 billion pages they created through dynamic rendering. But anyway, that's one other thing. And they still got crawled all day, every day. So if you have a site that's under 100,000 pages, crawl budget is really not anything you have to be concerned about, unless it's insanely big. You know, like you have just like 1,000 resources downloaded with every page. Yeah, maybe then, but otherwise you're okay.
Yeah. But again, Google does take this stuff seriously, but if you listen to that particular Office Hours, I don't think they're really taking that one seriously.
Okay, Jim, we got a challenge. We got some fast stories here. I think I can get through all these real quick. What do you think?
Fire away.
Okay. First, Google featured snippets are now going to have emojis and special characters. They've experimented with this before. It's kind of silly. I don't know. What do you think? Think they should stay or go?
I think they should stay. And I remember myself and one of the major editors at one of the major search publications having a long debate whether capital O underscore small o is a word or not. I say that it is. He said that it is not, Danny. But Danny was wrong about that, because that word is it's like a kanji. It just says everything in one little emoticon.
Well, but I can't see special characters. Not so much the emojis, like smiley faces and a featured snippet seem a little odd. But you do have a point there. Okay, let's move on. Google Effingo. It's like one of my family last
Google
names.
Google
Effingo. Effingo. My family's last name is Effinger. So Gary Eish said from Google that Google Search and other areas of Google do insanely fast data transfers across data centers. They can do, get this, 14 terabytes per second.
That's effing fast.
That's effing fast, which is probably why it was called Effingo. But as Gary said, fun background detail. We used to have a training that had a module about how to name things, so we're not going to be embarrassed if it ends up on the front page of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. So effing go sounds like, yeah, effing go.
Okay, see, this is a case where they let the fun engineers name things, but...
Exactly, I miss that so much.
Yeah.
Panda and Penguin are so much better than core update August, blah, blah, blah. So let's move on to Google Search is supposed to get better at URL parameter handling.
That's good.
As we all know. Yeah.
Great. Keep stats on your users. Maybe that's because they're trying to learn how to get around cookies.
Well, also because you have a lot of parameters on like e-commerce sites and stuff that are unimportant, and Google does not handle any of that very well. So it'd be a nice change to see them be able to do that better. Mm-hmm. Google Search is also testing mini knowledge panel cards. And I don't know if you've seen them, like little bitty knowledge panels in the upper right-hand corner. It looks like an incomplete one because you're used to seeing the big ones. You know, it's just supposed to give some basic information and clickable search links. There's nothing really more to tell about that. Google tests AI overviews in incognito mode. We already talked about.
Talked about that one. We talked about this next one, expanding search. Yeah. They say globally, really it's only 6 countries. But again, if you're in the UK, India, Japan, Indonesia, Mexico, and Brazil, you're in.
And this next one is an important one. Google has deactivated all Russian-based AdSense accounts as of yesterday. We'll issue them their July earnings, and they will be completely closed between August 21st and 26th. Now, Google did pause ad serving in Russia in March 2022, but now they're completely shutting the accounts down. Google's statement on this is, due to ongoing developments in Russia, we will no longer be able to make payments to Russia-based AdSense accounts that have been able to continue monetizing traffic outside of Russia. Google spokesperson said, as a result, we will be deactivating all these accounts effective August 2024.
Well, what took you so long, Google?
Yeah, well, at least they had to monetize it in Russia. But yeah, they should have done this a while.
Well,
but
if you had a Russian website, or if you were a Russian webmaster and you had a website that was showing up around the rest of the world, you were still bringing money into Moscow and paying taxes on that money.
Exactly. And they do. And it's good to see them completely getting out of funding Russia, given what Russia has done to Ukraine.
So. Yeah. Okay. Google is apparently done with AdSense in Russia.
Good. Yeah. Any Russian account? Yes. I cheer this. I applaud this result, especially because we have many Ukrainian friends who had to flee their homes. So, in this industry, it has a lot of many of the software tools we use are based out of Ukraine. So, and I told you we could do it, Jim.
We did it. We made it just under the wire. We are going out with, okay, this is weird. Have you ever heard an audio robots text file before?
Okay, so I checked with John. It is not audio. I don't know how the audio was created or why it was created. I didn't get that far because he hadn't answered yet before the show. But it is John creating the audio robots. Yeah, reading the robots text file in audio. And it is absolutely hilarious if you're an SEO. If you're not an SEO, it probably doesn't matter to you. But if you're an SEO, listen to how he says slash.
But this isn't a marvel of John using an audio file as a robot's text file. That's how the story was sold to me. I love that.
He was testing something, and I thought it was an audio file. But I asked him, how is Google getting to the audio file? Because it doesn't click anything. So he did some encoding of a text into the robot's file. So I don't know exactly. And it could be that the text is getting the audio, but it wasn't clear on that. So we could clarify that next week, because I'm not really sure from what I was reading on LinkedIn. But it is pretty funny to listen to John give this file in audio.
And so we're going to give you all the chance to do that on the way out, ladies and gentlemen. Well, first off, on behalf of Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. Want to thank Audience Key and Wix Studio, our sponsors. Want to special thanks to Ricky and Brasco in the studio, and Darren and Brandy in the office. Friends, like our show. If there's a bell to ring, ring the bell. Why the hell not? Ring any bell that you can. Any chance you get, you only live once. This, friends, is John Mueller reading a robot's text file. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Hashtag enjoy. Sitemap. https://johnmueller.com/sitemap.xml. User agent, Googlebot. User agent, Bingbot. User agent, DuckDuckBot. User agent, Slurp. Disallow/robots.txt. Disallow/nofollow/. User agent, SEMRushBot. Disallow/. User agent, DotBot. Disallow/. User agent, Quantify. Disallow/. User agent, ZoomInfoBot. Disallow/. User agent, Voltron. Disallow/. User agent, AHREFsBot. Disallow/. User agent, Star. Disallow/. Disallow/comments/feed. Disallow/robots.txt. Disallow/nofollow. Disallow/TB. Disallow/coffeetime. Disallow/googlehoney. # this was a real robots.txt file. Thank you and goodbye.